I talked with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast and His way in His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day come and I see
heaven's glory, I know
that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rose call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast and His way in His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. I talk with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I ask His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. It is all around us. Darkness comes to hide our way. Don't despair, the night is ending. The darkest sky will free today. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our hearts will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. Even in the blackest midnight, I have a lamp to guide my way. For the light of God's love shining in my heart turns the darkness into day. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our heartaches will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory and the light of heaven's dawn. Even in the blackest midnight, I have a lamp to guide my way. For the light of love shine in my heart turns the darkness into day. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our heartaches will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. Shadows all around us, darkness comes to hide my way. Don't despair, the night is ending. The darkest eyes will greet today. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our hearts will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. In the light of heaven's dawn. That's the truth. Shadows all around us. Darkness comes to hide our way. That's what we're in. We're in a darkness. Don't despair, the night is ending. The darkest sky will turn to gray. That's where we're at. Darkness comes to hide our face. Tremendous darkness. You can't even sometimes just kind of group like in the dark. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when your lights are out, mm-hmm. you just kind of group so you don't bump your head on the furniture and stuff. That's where we're at. As it was, so shall it be. Mm-hmm. As it was the days of Noah. It was a pretty dark hour day before Noah went into that ark. Nobody believed them. The same thing today. Nobody believes us. Yet we're just doing our job, you know. It's what. That's what. That's what. That's our job here at planet Earth. Mm-hmm. That's all we ever wanted to know what our calling is. Well, we found it. To hold on to the truth that's been given. To hold on to the. That I have. Over in. Through the Church Age of Laodicea, he said, "I counsel of thee to buy of me gold." That's all we're holding on, that gold. And that Isaac, that's the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And if we didn't hold on to it, if we didn't do what we're doing here every day, there would be no sign of it. Believe you me, these so-called thugs out there, these so-called truthers, they're working overtime to try to destroy everything Brother Jackson and Brother Branham ever taught. Never mentioned Brother Branham, but they've given the commission to hold on to the things. But it's all about themselves. Mm-hmm. It's what we're doing. It's our job now. God has found us faithful to do exactly what we're doing. Hold on to the truth that's been given. If we don't do it, it's not going to get done. Just that simple. That's why we have this tremendous responsibility to hold on to the truth, because mm-hmm. like it says here, darkness comes to hide our way. Everything that they're trying to shut it down, you know. trying to shut us down, tell us we're immaterial, and that's the nature of the beast. That's what's going on. You and I, we're in touch, eh? Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah, all you need to do is be in touch with what God's doing for the hour.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we don't have a program. We're useless. That's why we say, Lord, do it as you see fit, because, man, I'm living in this. How can you have anything that has any value in these closing days of time that's eternal? Go look at Grace of Truth, what they're doing. I mean, they're supposed to be the one that was supposed to hold on to the banner, hold on to the things Brother Jackson taught. It didn't last very long. And the Lord took me out of there, and here we are, just the two of us, and holding on to the fort.
Mm-hmm.
Holding on to the things that we've been taught. Holding on to that Isaiah. Holding on to that dressing. That's just, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that gold that's been tried in the fire, it's the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. That's what you and I are doing. We're holding on for dear life. Like it says here, darkness comes to hide our way. They got us completely in the outs. Every religion out there, every denomination has us completely in the outs. We're irrelevant to them, you know. But we're just doing what the Lord has called us to do. Because if we don't do it, it's not going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this dark hour. Anyway. People said I'd never make it. They said I'd never see it through. But they don't know what keeps me going. I guess they never have met you. All my life was in shambles. You came along, turned my tears into laughter. You gave me a brand new song. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me a smile. You touched my heart. You touched my soul. All the bitches left behind me. Lord, I burned them to the ground. I'm still holding on. You're the best thing I ever found. Both are likely not to prosper. While left hanging over my head.
You'll never count for nothing.
That's what most people say. I've been known to be unsettled. Never stayed around too long. But Lord, you're the treasure I've been searching for. And Lord, I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me a smile. You touched my heart. You touch my soul. All the bridges left behind me. Lord, I burned them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. Voted likely not to prosper. Was left hanging over my head. You'll never count for nothing. That's what most people say. I've been known to be unsettled. I never stayed around too long. But Lord, you're the treasure I've been searching for. And Lord, I'm still holding on. I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. You gave me a smile. You touched my heart. You touched my soul. All the bridges left behind me. Lord, I burned them to the ground. I'm still holding on to the best thing I ever found. True it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin, washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin, washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. That's the song I sang driving down the road when they terminated from that other cult on that club from the compound. They told me I can't be here anymore. I'm driving down the road, I know exactly that rich road. You know that rich road down there?
Mm-hmm.
I was driving down to Edens and I couldn't stop singing that song. Like a bird out of prison, you know? That's what I felt like. Mm-hmm. I was out of that other prison. That's what it means here. Well, thank God I'm free. Free from what? Free from religion. Free from these cults.
Yeah. They
call themselves Christians. They're free nothing more than a Christian than nothing.
Free from Egyptian bondage. That's what
well,
it
you
is.
You might think I'm mad. I'm not mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad. I think I hate these people when I talk to them about them. No, I hate that spirit. I hate that religious spirit. I got their number. We got their number. We know what it's about. It's all about religion. Deception, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I'm free from this world of religion. And you done, you leave the colony, you're still not rid of it. A lot of people I know, they leave the colony, but they jump from the fireplace into the, from the frying pan into the fire. And they're not free, these charity people. They just jump into, even a worse.
Even worse.
Even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, see, we got the number, eh? And it takes a lifetime to work yourself out of that religious bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, you think you're free of it. And you got a lot of hang-ups, just like they left Egypt. They thought they left Egypt. They thought they're rid of Egypt, but they took Egypt with them.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted the garlic and the sausage and all that garbage they had in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think about how the Egyptians had them kill their babies and stuff like that. And now they had a slave away. Eventually, they wanted to go back to Egypt. That's what happens. A lot of colonists, a lot of ex-Hutterites. They want to go back to the compound. You know, because it's not, you're really not free, eh? Mm-hmm. See, you and I, we're free. Mm-hmm. Took us a lifetime.
That's right.
Then when you're free of this, then you find yourself in another cult, and then you finally dig yourself out of that one, and now finally we're free to be about the Lord's business. That's where the freedom is. Like that Charlie Kirk said, if you're not free in the Lord, you're not free. And see, you and I, we're free to do what's right. We're free to do what the Lord has called us to do. We know where that scripture is. This is life eternal, that they to know God and Jesus Christ and we sin. John 17:3. We continue with that thought we had yesterday about we're created in His image and His likeness. And everybody wants eternal life here. John 17:3. And this is life eternal. Well, that's not me talking. I'm just reading it out of the Bible. And this is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. See, that's what this is all about, the image. When we, he said, let's create man in our image and our likeness. And then you got to know who this God is, as is life eternal. We all want eternal life. And according to the scripture, the only way you find eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom we sent. And that's what you and I, we're trying to portray to a world and draw a picture to a lost and dying world who this God is. This is that you may know God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Heavenly Father, we just read your scripture. Lord, I just pray to give us the insight and the ability to express the things you've allowed us to see here in this closing piece of time, how important it is to know God and to know Jesus Christ whom he sent, to know the difference about God the Father and then the difference about Jesus Christ the Son. And Lord, there's so much in this scripture here. Lord, we just pray for grace to be able to execute it or express the things you've allowed us to see here in these closing days of time, Lord. We just pray you'll do it as you see fit. Use our vocal cords and our expression, whatever it takes to bring this thought out, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah, we were on that subject. Let us create man in our image and our likeness. And we were telling yesterday, who's this us? He said, that's these angels now. Like, you got to get it into your deep down, into your DNA, that all this thing is for, all this planet is for, as a laboratory, as a testing station. We're right now, and these closing days, being tested. What are you going to do with this word? And here it says what we need to do. This is life eternal. Everybody wants eternal life, and it's not like they tell us that all you got to do is live in the commune and wear a certain dress code and read out these old sermons every day and things like that. That's first class deception. That's not eternal life. It says here, this is life eternal, that they may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. And that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to put this God out there and this Jesus Christ out there, and what the scripture means, that when Jesus let us make men in our image and our likeness, like we keep saying, this planet is a laboratory. It has always been a laboratory back in the eons of ages, millions and billions back there. At the dawning of time, he said, I'm paraphrasing it like I said yesterday, I'm going to milk a planet now, and I'm going to make a laboratory, and I'm going to test these angels and Jude. And that's what he did for millions of years. Might have been millions of years till where he tested them, and then he gave them an animal kingdom to rule over that animal kingdom and over that environment. And then as time went on, one day they decided, you can read it over in Jude, the angels that kept not the first estate. They did not keep their job, that God give a job, that God give to each one of those angels. But see, he gave them a freedom of choice, and that's who this God is. He puts out his planet, he puts out his laboratory, and then he, first of all, he puts in these angels and Jude. All these angels were being tested now. Now, as time went on, That one angel, he decided, you know, I think I can do a better job. I'm going to step out of my estate, and I'm going to do it my way, just like that song says, I'll do it my way. That's exactly what happened. You can go over millions of years ago, but throughout the scriptures, you know, we can go back in scriptures, and we can find exactly the frequency and the waves and the, exactly what happened back then. Mm-hmm. God had left a certain amount of scripture so they can weave our way back. They kept that the first estate they had a God assigned job to do, each one of them. Now there are some that fell. Some decided we'll do it our way. But there are some that stayed faithful and true to their calling, and that was their test. If you can only stay within the confines of that great God, that great eternal strength, gave each one of them a job to do. And some, like I say, some were unfaithful. And then as time went on and evolved, and you can read it over and Peter, the angels that sin. See, if you look out of your calling, what God called you to do, you're going to sin eventually. And then it said, the angel that sinned. And then, guess what happened? And it came so bad that God had to come on the scene because they had polluted that animal kingdom. They knew how to get into the genetics of these dinosaurs, and like at first these dinosaurs, they just ate grass, you know. We were in the museum, we saw a dinosaur there eating grass, and then we seen that other dinosaur where he was killing other dinosaurs. Yeah. And that's what it evolved into.
Uh-huh. And if you look at the principle of God, God would not create a dinosaur that would kill. Mm-hmm. When you will look at the animal kingdom that he created for man, back in the Garden of Eden, when he presented Adam with an animal kingdom, these animals were not wild. They only received that wild nature after the flood. They were not wild creatures. So when sin came into the picture, that what developed into this wild nature. And that's the same way when you will take it back to the prehistoric hour when the angel sinned, that brought in that chaotic state of the animal kingdom.
In fact, it got so bad that, like I say, violence covered the planet. Mm-hmm. Violence covered the earth. These animals, all they did, it got so mean and so wicked. We went to these museums. How these animals, they just killed, fighting each other and killing each other. Then God had to shut it down. He couldn't let it keep going like that because these animals were killing each other. Violence covers here, and God shut it down, and he brought in an ice age, and he, I don't know where he put the planet to, but all of a sudden, first, it tremendous heat. How these bones, it petrified, and it was so hot, and then what he did, he put this planet into an ice age. Mm-hmm. And maybe for millions of years, this planet was without form and void, and then what he did, he brought it back in again, but now he's not going to test the angels, the Jews. He already tested them, and some of them, like I said yesterday, he had to create a place called hell, and then he sent them down and tied them up into everlasting chains of darkness. They're still tied up there, they can't move there. And then what he did then, he recreated this planet again, but now he's not going to test. He's going to test East Morningstar. He's going to test Lucifer. And then he tested Lucifer, and then you know the story. He fell. Like I say, this is still a laboratory, but now he's testing East Morningstar. And Satan got so wicked that it was pretty obvious. I can't support that guy and that angel. And see, a lot of these angels, They decided they're going to side with Lucifer. Mm-hmm. And then God came on the scene because he got so wicked again that he called Lucifer into check, and that's the creation of Satan. That was perfect. And all that was until I tested you, and then iniquity was found in you, and they tested him, and then he found out to be unfaithful and untrue. Now all these angels, they're still angels out there, they all decided they're going to side with Lucifer. And when God called Satan and Lucifer into judgment, all these angels that were supporting Lucifer, they all went with him. There wasn't even a, judgment on mm-hmm. them. They just automatically, and now they're called demons. They're out there, fallen angels called demons. But the angels in Jude, it said they're tied into everlasting chains of darkness until that great day. I don't know when that great day is, when they'll be loosed up. I really don't know, because I don't have any insight into that. But see, so there's, according to the scripture, they're still tied up, the angels of Jude. But the angels that sided with Lucifer, they're out there roaming around, demonic forces, trying to entice us on a day-to-day basis. As long as we're on guard, and we start the day with prayer, and then we do our thing, and these songs, they're really, actually, I noticed this morning, these songs are, that we sing, they're really just a prayer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like we just keep bringing in the day, start the day with prayer. If I start my day with you, Lord, there's nothing I can't do. We're on to Satan and his devices. But you see, you got to be prayed up, and then you can see what we're saying. You can see this as being a lavatory. That's where we got all our information, right from this book here. And this is, everybody wants eternal life. This is life eternal, that you may know God. That's what we're trying to do, our level, but to get to know this God, and finally we got to know him. And then what we're trying to do now, we're trying to present this God, who he is, to the world out there, to the mm-hmm. lost and dying world, so they too can have eternal life, because mm-hmm. this is life eternal. Everybody wants eternal life, but there's ways and means to get it. You can't get it through that deceptive religion out there, through these cults. Now, they'll never lead you to, they'll never tell you anything about no Brother Branham. They'll never tell you about no Brother Jackson. They'll never tell you the things that we're telling you here, because it's not their mandate. They prove, and just like these angels back there, we're still here in this lavatory, and when Brother Jackson went off to sea, we were all being tested, just like these angels in Jude are being tested. What are you going to do with the things that you have been taught and the Lord spoke to you? Write them to your spirit. Remember the things that you've been taught, because this is now your test. This is now our test, to remember the things that these two great men brought. Remember the things you've been taught. Remember from where you've taught them from, because you were taught them, really, when it comes right down to it, you were taught them right from that angel, the church age of Laodicea. Mm-hmm. And now he's just saying, remember, just remember. Hold on to the things that you've been taught. And then he gives you another scripture and says, from these people that are found to be unfaithful, from such withdraw. And here, like I said this morning, I said, when Brother Jackson left the scene, he wanted to continue with the program. He wanted Ellen and Bud to continue and to have preachers come in once a month and have some special meeting so that we can check who these preachers really are. And see, they refused that, and they did the wrong thing, just like these angels do. They did the wrong thing, and they decided they were going to do a better job than Brother Jackson did. Mm-hmm. And then eventually God had to bring judgment on Benjamin, on Bud Thompson, and he's no more. He took him out. It's a judgment seat of Christ. And then here, he starts his work up with Tim, and all he wanted from Tim, continue with the program that Brother Jackson left us with. And most of the thing that Brother Jackson, before he left the scene, he said, this is God's pulpit. I'm responsible for who I let in that pulpit, and that's all God required of them. Ralford, just make sure you don't let nobody in that pulpit, because God gave Tim Ralford a dream, and he told me about that dream. He said he saw somebody in the pulpit preaching completely contrary to the things he believed. And I told him, and the Lord is telling you something, Tim, you need to pay attention. Don't let nobody in that pulpit that has a different view. And here along comes Russell Davis with a different view. We're after 2 days. And I told him, did you know that Russell Davis is preaching, we're after 2 days? And he said, yeah, I heard about it. I said, what are you going to do about it? He says, nothing. I almost fainted. You mean nothing? You're going to just let him continue with that poison and preach we're after 2 days? And he didn't do nothing. And then, furthermore, he lets him in his pulpit, you know. And then eventually, as time went on, he called him up and he let him know that he's not on the same page with him. And there for a while, he put him in the outs. And then as time went on, he brings him back in again. And he's like, and he brings him into his pulpit, and now look what you got there now. He brings in, he's doing exactly what that king got, as a fiend, he's not used as a fiend, he did. He decided one day he's going to offer a sow in the altars of Jerusalem, and he brought that big sow in, which that altar was only supposed to be lamb sacrificed on there. Here he brings the sow in, and that's exactly what Tamar Elifer did. He brought that big sow in, that Stroman guy from Norway, and he puts him in that on the altar and the pulpit that lets him preach in with his diabolical teaching, and then he brings in Timothy. These are all just unfit to be in that pulpit because they caused Brother Jackson a lot of pain and heartache when he had to deal with them and he had to put them in the house. What does he do now? He's been given the mental Tim hat, and he brings in these people. When God gave him a dream, don't let nobody in that pulpit that has a different view. He brings them in broad daylight and thinks he's doing God a service, and that he's found to be unfaithful. He's exactly where these angels and Jude went. He did his own thing, and now he's found to be unfaithful. And then God gives you and I that exam to write, and he's still testing. It's still a laboratory. And see, as time went on, he's found you and I faithful to do what? To do this very thing that we're doing here, to hold the line on the truth, because the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson is simply that ISAB, which caused back in Revelation, when Jesus said, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, put on ISAB. That's the ministry of Raymond M. Jackson, Brother Branham, and if you can get in and tap into their ministry, you're going to find yourself being dressed with a revelation. At the end of the day, when you have that dressing on, where it says, I counsel of thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, and that's all that you and I are doing. We're holding on to the fort. We're holding on to the things that we have been taught so that the lost and dying world can grab and take advice. I counsel of thee to buy me gold. That's exactly what we're doing here. We've been doing it here for the last year or so, and on a daily basis. We used to do it on a weekly basis, but the times are so tough and such a dire that the Lord moved enough to do it every day, and every day we're bringing out some truth. Everything that these two men brought us, we're just holding on to the fort and doing everything we can to keep our sanity, spiritual sanity, and we let you walk you through what happens to these people that fell by the wayside, just like these angels and Jews. It's still a laboratory, and here we were all being tested, and then Benjamin Boy, he was supposed to help them, Relaford, hold on to the line to the truth, and guess what he does? He compromises, and he caves, and he starts supporting these two-day crowd. And then God's judgment hit him, and a week later he was dead, you know. And people don't take note of it. They don't take it serious. So see, you and I, we sit back and we're watching all it develop. That's why we're putting in so much effort to hold on to the truth that we've been given, because if we let it slip, believe you me, there's nothing left. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing that's left. That's why the Lord, once he got us, gave us this house, and then once he got this house, he told us to put up a lighthouse here. That lighthouse represents something. It wasn't our idea to put a lighthouse up. The Lord told us to put up that lighthouse. And from here, the truth goes all around the world. There's very little truth left, but here, we got a truth, and if you can only get yourself to believe what we're saying, you're putting on that ISAB, and you will not stand naked before that Almighty God when the day of judgment comes. It's just up the road here in our lifetime, because back in the day, he woke me up 2 o'clock in the morning, saying, I'm coming soon. I knew when I heard that voice, and he's coming in my lifetime, because then why would he tell me, saying, I'm coming soon, and then not coming in my lifetime? He's coming, and I'm already 78 years old. There's not much left. I've already passed by 70. I'm already over 70. I'm actually living on borrowed time. And just to simply to preserve a truth that's been given us. And that's what we're doing. This is life eternal, that they know God and Jesus Christ, and we stand that we were created in his image and his likeness. So we get to know this God, you know. You and I, we know God. We can go back, and we go back sometimes and sat down with him, and he had himself a council. He had a meeting with himself, and he decided exactly what he's going to do with this planet and everything. He planned it out before he put one angel on the scene. He planned, he had a plan, and he made a blueprint, and then he said he's going to see to it That blueprint that he made is going to be executed right to the T, and way back before he even created one angel, it was everything a done deal. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he can take this planet, and he can go in the center of the planet, and he can push these big mountains up, like, because he's all-powerful, it's unlimited powerful. And then he's all-knowing, he knows everything, he knows how many mosquitoes there are, he knows how many drops of water in the ocean, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, he's everywhere present, and no reptant. Everything is in God. And that's when we were saying yesterday, we're just minor gods. Our power is limited. Our knowledge is limited. And we're not like I say, God is unlimited in everything. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But you and I, we're limited. We know a little bit of things. And if it wasn't Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson, we would really be know nothing. We'd be kind of in a vacuum. We wouldn't even know nothing if it wasn't for Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, because we had come to a place in our life where we could not go on. We were wondering what happened in Genesis 6. Up to Genesis 6, we were wondering what happened in the garden, but we couldn't come up with no answer. And it was the day that I heard Brother Branham, when the Lord brought me to the ministry of Brother Branham, the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain. Then I know exactly what happened prior to Genesis 6, why God brought a flood. Because the sons of God, the sons of Seth, they were not supposed to mingle and have intercourse with the sons, with the daughters of Cain. Because Cain was from that wicked one. Cain was not fathered by Adam. It was a completely different race of people. And as long as they were down and out, everything was okay. Down and out, they would self-destruct. Because they started doing polygamy, all kinds of evil. But here in down in the land of Eve, the sons of Seth, all they did, they called on the name of the Lord. But see, once they started mingling, when the sons of Seth began to mingle with the daughters of Cain, eventually it got so wicked that God had to destroy it, just like he did with the angel of Jude. God had to destroy this planet, just like he did in the days of Lucifer. Lucifer was found to be unfaithful, and all these angels that sided with, they became so wicked, and then God had to bring judgment on this planet. And here it's again the same thing. Here God is going to bring judgment on this planet because of the wickedness. Because he can't change his form, you know. He can't decide that he's going to do something else here now. But that's the God that you and I have got to know, and this is life eternal, that they may know God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's what the Lord's been doing with us in the last 30 years, teaching us about the oracles of God and teaching us what's been transpiring throughout the ages, throughout the centuries, throughout millions of years. Like I say, back then he tested his angels in Jude, then he tested the morning star, and now he's testing you and I to see if we're going to be found worthy and to be going into that other faith, that age of regeneration, to go in and do what? To help him regenerate the planet, and it'll take 1,000 years to bring the planet back exactly to where it was before the fall, because when Adam and Eve fell, God came on the scene and he promised to Adam, he said, I'm going to send somebody that's going to make everything right, and he's going to turn everything back as if it never even happened. And it'll take 1,000 years to bring this planet back to where it was before the fall. There will be no more sea, and all that stuff, all that pollution and everything will take 1,000 years, and we'll be there, if we found to be faithful and true, we'll be there to assist. Just like these angels now that they've been tested, now they can assist God and let us make man. Because they've been tested, they've been tried, they've been proven to be faithful and true. And all of a sudden here, they come on the scene and he uses them and he brings them into the family of God, the ones that are tried and proven. That's exactly why we're going through what we're going through, to test us, to see if we're going to be faithful to the things that God has created us to be. He created us to do exactly what we're doing here on a daily basis, to hold the line onto this truth and to expose the unfruitful darkness. Like I keep saying, we're fighting a war on three fronts. We're making sure that the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack is being preserved. And at the same time, we're We're exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, that religious thing they call out there, they call church. It's nothing but filth. It's nothing but from Satan. It's not word. It's nothing but tables of vomit. They'd be better off. They'd burn up their sermon and just preach what Brother Brennan and Brother Jackson taught us in these closing days of time. If you care about your people, that's what you will do. But see, deception is of such magnitude that Satan has managed to deceive the masses. And then our third point is to let people where we are at time. We got that exactly right down to the day. We could tell you exactly the day when Satan is going to be kicked right into hell, tied up on a chain. Because we got that midnight cry. And why would the Lord tell me, saying I'm coming soon, and not giving us the information that we need to know when he's coming? Because he told these two at going to Emmaus, when he asked, will you at that time once again restore Israel? And he let them know, it's not for you to know, because you're not going to be living in that time frame. I'm paraphrasing it. I'm not changing the script. I'm just paraphrasing. What would be have been the point telling these people 2,000 years ago when he's going to restore Israel? They want to cut on to it. But see, here in his end time, what he said, in the end time, I'm going to have two people. I'm going to let them in on my secret. I'm going to let them know exactly when I'm going to restore Israel. And we came right down to the day, October the 15th, 2021, is when God went off the seat, the mercy seat, and he went over and he became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's right at that Yom Kippur, the true Yom Kippur. Now he's on that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now he's coming down here to expose himself to the Jewish race. And that transition was on, and the restoring of all things was begin right back October the 15th, 2021. And we were right down exactly right to the day. And then once you know that, it's 1,260 days to the middle, then it's 42 months to the end of Satan's reign, that's the end of his 6,000 years, and then the day of the Lord kicks in, and then the separating of the goats and the sheep. See, we got it exactly right down to the T.
Like when I was only 9-10 years old, I asked the Lord, I read all the stories in the Bible, Noah's Ark and all Daniel and all the times and the stories, and I thought, and I asked the Lord, where are we in the Bible? That was only when I was 9-10 years old.
Yeah.
When the Lord saved me when I was 21, and I read the Bible over, and there I had so many questions developed in me, and that was all the process of getting to know who God is. That's why Jesus Christ came, so that we can get to know who God is. And then he led me right, because I had such a desire to know what those seven churches are in the book of Revelation. And that's where he led me into the church age of Laodicea, to the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson. See, that's all the part of getting to know God. And he led me to that righteousness, to the present truth, to where God is at in time. See, like in the days of Noah, that's where God was at. But in the days of Brother Brenham, that's where God was at, in the present truth of our day and hour. And Brother Jackson, and it just evolved. And that's what God spoke to me on, that to preserve this truth that God has brought in the church age of Laodicea. Because the devil, he's always out to destroy. And that's all we're doing, so people can have eternal life, to get to know who God is and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That was all God working for us, to get to know who he is. And that's why he sent us his son, his only begotten son, so that we can know him and have eternal life.
Amen to that. And see, we know it's not only to know God, we know to know Jesus Christ whom he sent, and Jesus Christ was exactly what he promised Adam. I'm going to send somebody, and he was that somebody that he sent to for the sake of salvation, so that we can have salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. All we got to do is believe it, and and believe on him whom God had sent. That's what he said when he was here. This is life eternal, that they believe on him whom God had sent, and they keep evolving and going on. This is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. Now, he's in charge of everything now. After the resurrection, Jesus came out and he said, all power has been given unto me now. God is transitioning all the power onto Jesus Christ because he proved to be faithful and true. It's all about being faithful and true. That's why we're going through what we're going, to prove at the end of the day that we will have to be faithful and true to do what the Lord has called us to do. That's what we're doing here on a daily basis. We're bringing out a truth and disclosing days of time to preserve a truth that's been given to the church age of Laodicea. Just that simple. It's not that hard. And then we're going to be faithful and true. God is going to do exactly what he did to those angels that were faithful and true. Back then. He called them in and then he said, let us make man out. And then when we're going to be faithful and true, he's going to take us into that millennium and he's going to use us to help and preserve and help to bring the planet back to where it was before the fall. It's just a simple program. It's all hands-on thing, you know. That's why I said, this is life eternal, that they believe in him, and that they know God and Jesus Christ, and we said, and we're just portraying to a people out there this God, this great God, and we portray who Jesus Christ is, and we're trying our level best, and I think that we'd be found out from the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jack, and believe you me, if we wouldn't be doing, it wouldn't get done, because you can't trust these people out there, you can't trust the relevant, you can't trust the Fred Cormier, you can't trust the Russell Davis, and you can't trust the Strowman, because they've not been proven who is then that faithful and my servant, whom his Lord has found faithful to deliver meat in due season. Then he found you and I faithful, and that's what we're doing here on a day-to-day basis. And we, after a while, you get to enjoy it, you know, because we got no other job. That's all we got to do now. We're retired from traffic, and that's all we do here 24/7, is to just make sure that we have something for a lost and dying world, and to preserve the things that God has been given to us, to the church age of Laodicea. Just that simple.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, give you thanks for another day of life, for everything you do for us, for helping us to get to know you, who you are, Lord, in your word, and for giving us life eternal through Jesus Christ, whom you sent. We just give you thanks for allowing us to see the picture of where you are at in time, so we can have that confidence and that assurance, Lord, in your word, that you are in charge of all things, Lord, that you are all present, all powerful, and that you know all things, Lord, that nothing goes without your knowing. And we just have great comfort in that, in your word, and what you've allowed us to see. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.